face that dawn, really, how precious did that grace appear? The eye I first believed. As we sing that last noun, we receive the offering for the spoken word. When we bend our 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we know this day to sing God's praise, and when we first begun. Man, it's good to see each one of you out this morning. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Revelations, the 5th chapter, we'll read about the first 7 verses of the 5th chapter of Revelations, and then we'll read Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and verse 30 of that. But it's good to see each one of you out. While you're turning, Sister Johnny wrote back a letter to us about the questions and answers that we had, you know, just recently, which she'd asked some questions and things. Said she really enjoyed the questions and answers, and she was listening to them over and over again to get a better understanding of it, and she believed the Lord was helping her. She said she still had a feeling of wanting something in her life. Well, I just thought this morning, when she hears this, if she'll just think about what the scripture says in Matthew 5 and verse 6, says, blessed are you when you hunger and thirst after righteousness, for you shall be filled. And then the prophet says that you're even blessed. On the lady you'll see in Age Book 10, page 500, he says you're even blessed just to hunger. Now that's something that a lot of people don't do. You're blessed just to hunger in your heart and desire something of the Lord. See, that's a blessing to you. You'd think, well now, looks like if I was hungering and thirsting, I ought to be filled. You know, the Lord ought to give it to me. Well, no. When you get like the book of Acts, they had a lot of things there in the book of Acts, but they were still searching after God. They were still seeking after the Lord for more in the book of Acts. But just think about it now. On things that are to be, Brother Branham says, if there's no craving in our heart, if there's no longing in our heart to go to heaven, then there's not a heaven for us to go to. If there's not a craving in our hearts today to be with the Lord, then there's not a place for us to go. Because it's built according to your desires, according to your craving. So we're blessed to hunger and thirst, aren't we? So the best I could say to her was, sister, it's a blessing for you to say that there's something that I'm wanting. Because that's what we all wanted. Let's just read our scripture now in Revelations 5. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. One of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the beast and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Now let's read Ephesians 4. This is a well-familiar scripture with us, but we'll just read it. Because it's something we want to get back to this if we have time today. Ephesians 4th chapter. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Let's just all pray together. Father, we thank you for this day and the hour that we're living, the time We pray this day you would give us our daily bread, because that's what we desire of you. Bless your people. Bless, Lord, those that are not here. We ask that you would just be with each heart this day, knowing that this Easter morning that we've gathered here today to worship you and believing your word, that we are resting in you, waiting for the time for you to come and get us. Many predictions have been made across the land by different people, but yet, Lord, we just believe your word and just keep on walking. You know, we know then that they that are in the word shall know their God in the last days. We believe that. Forgive our sins, guide us together as a church. Lift us up in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we've been trying for quite a while now we've been on the fifth seal, and this will be message number 7. I have to put a number to them, because if I don't, I'd forget which one I preach, because I write a lot of them throughout the week. Sometimes I'll write a message and all like that, and then if I didn't date it or put a number to it or something, I'd wind up probably preaching the same sermon over again. And you may think that I have been lately, I guess, because I spent so much time trying to get a few points across. But the prophet told us that you hold that point up to the people until they see it. Well, that's what I've been trying to do, is hold up one thing before you until you can see it, and then we'll move on to something else. That's for our day and time, we've got to see who we are, and that's what I'm wanting us to do, is to catch what the Word says we are, not just to say, you know, well, Brother Branham says we're this and we're that, or we believe this or we believe that. It's what the Word says we are. See, we can accept what Brother Branham says and say, well, he told us that, and we believe that. Well, that's good. But has God spoke back to that? Just like I asked my wife last night going down the road, I said, if I ask you, what would Brother Branham place it on when he said, there's not another sign to come after this one? He said, this is the last sign the Gentile world will receive, was God using the gifts and the manifestation that was in his life and the things were happening. He says, there'll not be another message past this. There'll not be another sign past this one. He said, there'll not be another message. This is the last message. Now, how could he be so sure of that? How could a little old man like him, with a 7th grade education, that, you know, everybody laughed at him and made fun of his English and everything else, how could a man like that be so sure he could stand and say, this is the last message? And there'll not be another, and it'll just start deteriorating now and just start falling away, and things will just start happening, and the churches will just start dying away and all like that. Well, see, we can look out there and see what he said's coming to pass. We can see what's going on in the world today and all of the things that he said's coming to pass. Well, then we'd have to believe what he said. But how could he stand there so sure of himself and say, this is the last message? You say, well, he was a prophet. Well, being a prophet, he had to have something to base it on, because just the fact of him being a prophet made it to the place that he had to have something to base it on. Because a prophet don't just take something just because a voice speaks to him and says, oh, this is the way it is, you know, you're supposed to do it this way. A prophet would always go back to the Word and check it. Any true prophet that had ever been, he'd check his message by what the former prophets before him had said. That's the only way he could know he was right. The only way he could stand on that and know that he was right, see, was to believe that. Well, now, let's just watch this morning. Maybe we'll see how that he could stand so sure on that and believe that his message was the last message that had come forth to the Gentiles. And then God would turn, see, when the rapture of the church comes, God will turn right on to the Jews and pick up the same message to them and begin to speak to them. But what have we been trying to get the point across now? What have we been driving at? That we are the alive Word. Not that we're just a dead letter, or not that we're just something that, you know, just saying, well, yeah, we believe that we're Christians. We believe that God is dealing with us, and we believe that we're down here in the end of time. But we found from the prophet's message that we are the alive word. All right, then we took in our last message, Galatians 3:16, where it says, "And unto thy seed," speaking about the faith of Abraham, not the natural genealogy of Abraham, because it said, "And not unto seeds as of many." See, the natural lineage of Abraham. Not to his natural lineage was the promise made, was it? What was it made to? It said, "And unto thy seed, which is Christ." All right, then the baptism of the Holy Ghost to the individual makes that individual a member of that one seed singular, don't it? The Bible doesn't have a whole bunch of seeds in it. It's God's seed. It's the Word. The Word has only one seed. That's what the Word is. The Word is a seed. You remember the parable Jesus was telling, said the sower went forth to sow. All right, he was telling a natural parable of a sowing of a seed. But what did he say that was? He said the one that sowed was the Son of Man. And said the Word that he sowed, that was the seed. In other words, the seed he sowed out there, that was the Word that the Son of Man sowed. All right, then seeing it that away, we can see that there's only one seed, singular, in the Bible, and that's God's seed. All right, now, there's a serpent seed there that comes through, but that's a perverted seed. That's a seed that's not, that's Satan's seed. That's a perverted seed. That's not part of the what we call the Bible. See, we can say, well, these are in the Bible and that's in the Bible, but we followed the seed down. Now, watching the seed as it come forth in the Bible as the believers that were in the Bible. Not Pharaoh and not all of them different ones like that, because that's part of the historical side of what we call the Bible, you know, the historical points that it records, that history can study it. But it forever hour that they were living, man was the alive word, wasn't he? Like a Moses, a David, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, and all of the great ones that we read of in the Bible and talk about them being the seed of Abraham, that as it come down through the Bible that we can see all of the real true people are believers. Well, see, that was the believers that was in the book. The rest is a historical side, that there was a Pharaoh and that there was a bunch of people down there in Egypt and this and that and the other was happening. But the seed was Christ. That's why that Moses could stand there, as I've said time and time again to get you to see it, Moses saw the reproach that went with being with his people and just throwed down the throne. He was entitled to it. He just throwed all of it down and walked down to his people, seeing the reproach, as Scripture said, of Christ. In other words, he was part of that seed. What caused him to act so funny when he ordered just went on and took over with his natural mind? What caused Abraham to act so odd in his ways? When he told Lot, he said, "Now you can have the land, wherever you want it, whatever you want. You and I are going to divide. We've got so big here and our herdsmen are having trouble with one another." He said, "Now you go your way and I'll go my way." What caused Abraham to go out, had to go out into the rough places and all like that to live? What caused all of those men to act like they did? Because there was something in them, wasn't it? But in reading the Bible, we just read of the natural, historical side of what it all looks like. As we followed the seed down through the Bible, it's just a natural, historical side. Through the journey of man, we could see the natural seed as it come forth. But then what was we really supposed to be watching? We were supposed to be watching the spiritual seed, the seed of God as it come through the Bible. Then you can understand why those people would do strange things like they would do. Where would a little old man like David get enough energy to say to that great big Goliath as he come up there and he said, Somebody come out and fight with me. Why, that man was a warrior, the Bible said, from his youth. There was nobody able to stand in his way. Some 9 foot tall, great big fingers on him, you know, and carried a spear that looked like a weaver's, it must have been probably 14 foot long, his spear was that he carried, because if I was going to carry one for my protection, I'd probably want one 8 or 10 foot long, wouldn't you? I'd want something long enough to keep the fella away from me. But see, looking at something like that, but here's a little old guy called David, and he says, this day I'll cut your head off. Now, what kept him from being destroyed? Why would David be so sure? There was something there that David was certain, and we'll watch it throughout the message. See, we'll find out how certain we can be. But David was so certain until he challenged that giant to a duel out there and said, I'll cut your head off. Well, now, think about what David was basing it on. Sure, he said, now the lion, God gave me strength to deliver that. The bear, you know, when I killed the lion and took the lamb away from it, the bear, when I killed it, he said, that God that delivered me from them will deliver me from this. But what else was he basing it on? If we're going to watch that seed down through there as we were trying to, what was he basing that on? David could remember that Samuel was a prophet, and that Samuel, in seeking out a king to be anointed in the place of Saul, he went down to the house there to where that David's brothers were at, and God turned them every one down but David, didn't he? You remember the story in the Bible? He turned down all of the people as Samuel came to him, each one of the men. And took David, the youngest of all, and anointed him to be king. Well, now there was David. Now what if you was David? Watch it and maybe you'll see how that he based his calling and all of the things. He based it upon the Word. And we can do the same thing. Then you can see why Brother Branham would say, this is the last message, there'll not be another one. It'll just start getting worse now. David knew that he was anointed to be king. And at the time when he was fighting Goliath, he wasn't king, was he? Saul was still king. All right, then David based his calling and his election upon what the Word said about him. There was the Word, which was a prophet named Samuel, that had anointed him to be king of Israel. He knew nothing, couldn't stand his way. What if it was revealed to you today that you would live to be 100 years old? Any of us in here, it wouldn't matter how old we are, Brother Bird's being the oldest, if it was revealed to you that you'd live to be 100 years of age, well, then about that time, some guy comes running in the door with a gun in his hand. He said, I'm going to kill the oldest person here. Well, now, if he really believed what God revealed to him, he'd laugh at the man, wouldn't he? See, we're talking about faith. We're not talking about stupidity. But what man calls great, see, God calls foolish. But what God calls great, man, he turns around and calls it foolish. See, natural man would call that foolish for you to laugh at a person like that. But you'd say, it's been revealed to me. Simeon, there in the temple, he said, it's been revealed to me that I'll not die till I see the Lord's Christ. He went around telling everybody about it. I'm going to see the Lord's Christ. They probably had trouble out of the old man. Every service they probably had, they said, now we want to let anybody testify it wants to. Probably the old man would get up and say, I'm going to see the Lord's Christ before I die. Well, they probably thought he was a fanatical nut. But yet we know the Scripture said he saw the Lord's Christ, didn't he? All right, David based his upon what the Word said, and the Word being that prophet that had anointed him king, he knew nothing couldn't stop him from coming to that place. He knew nothing couldn't hinder him from being king over Israel. It wouldn't matter what that Goliath done to him, that God was still going to raise him up if he had to. See, that's the seed. those that believe God. Abraham, as I tried to explain the other day to us, Abraham was just a man like we are. He wasn't a supernatural human being of some type of something like these chariots of the gods would like to make him, you know, and all these things. Abraham was a man just like we are. It said about Elijah that he was a man of like passion as we are. Yet when he prayed, God closed the heaven. Now what made them certain people back there that we read of their names and the accounts of their lives and follow them through there? What made them what we would call great warriors of faith? Were they set aside special kind of people or something? No, the Bible says it's just like we are. But Abraham believed God. And in him believing God, if you and I can believe God, we've been taught it enough that we should know that if God ever healed one person by their faith that they believed God, that they were healed, God ever healed one person, then the next person that would believe the same way, whether he be Christian or whether he be sinner or whoever it be, God would still have to heal that person the same way, or he acted wrong the first time. And if God saved one person in the Bible there, and we can find where he saved one person, and surely we can find where he saved 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. But if you can find where he saved one person because of what they believe, and you believe the same way, then God will have to save you, because if he didn't, he'd be acting contrary to his word. But what do we find out? That one that can believe for their salvation, that one that can believe God for their salvation, that is the seed that we're talking about. That's the word that's been planted into your heart that makes you aware that you can believe it. Look at the little ill-famed woman down there of Samaria, little prostitute, that she just got fed up with the religious system of her day and time. But yet when Jesus Christ came down to her, and all he done was one, didn't do a sign or nothing, all he done was discern her thoughts of her heart and just told her, said, go get your husband and bring him here. She said, sir, I have no husband. He said, you're right. Said, you've had five, and the one you're living with now is not yours. That's all he told her. But she was more in line to receive God, and a whole city was converted by her testimony. It's the Bible said he never done another sign. No way did he do down in Samaria. And the whole city come out and believe because of what she had said. Well, surely they had seen such a change in a woman's life. Wouldn't they believe you if they'd see the change in your life like hers? But yet what caused her to be able to believe? And then those same Pharisees that Jesus would stand right there and tell them all about their lives and heal the sick and raise the dead, they'd turn around and laugh at him and said, we don't believe that. What made her believe? That was that seed. That seed singular, that seed of God. That was something in that little girl's heart that made her to where she could believe. And how was it put there? She said, we know when the Messiah cometh, he'll do these things. See, being a Samaritan, she was what would be called a half Jew and a half Gentile, which it couldn't be in terminology. They couldn't be a half Jew and a half Gentile, because if you're anything other than a Jew, you would be called a Gentile. And a Jew is a Gentile when he's counting it nationality, which would be a nation, you know. But a Gentile, see, she was down there, her descendants come down from the Jews. They had married in, see. And you had that group of people. Well, she had heard that. She knew the scriptures. She knew all about it. She said, our fathers. But see, she was in line to hear because she had that faith seed in her heart. She could believe God. She had heard the word and held on to it, where the others had heard the word and just made fun of it, laughed at it, throwed it away. especially when it was standing there before. All right, do you see then what we've been trying to get at, that faith seed, that's the seed of God, that's the Word of God that we accept into our heart when we hear it preached, as the Scripture says. How can they hear without a preacher, and how can he preach lest he be sinned? You know, it don't mean you have to hear a preacher. You can hear anything. A woman can testify, or anybody could tell you about the Lord. But when you hear that Word and hang on to that Word, and God comes to give that Word life, then there's the seed of Abraham. That's the faith seed of Abraham. It's the seed of God which is the Word. That's why it's called the seed of God. All right, now, you think just a minute now. There's plenty of names, as I covered the other night. I wanted to get back to this just a little bit. The believers in the Bible, we can read about a Noah and a Moses and a Abraham and an Adam and a Enoch and all of that coming down. But there's a lot of other names written in the Bible. There's a Pharaoh and there's a Judas. There's a Cain. There's all kind of names in there of people that were wrong, isn't it? Well, now, they're not, you couldn't say they're not in this Bible, like saying, you know, I'm not foolish, and get up here and say, well, now, Pharaoh's not in this Bible. And you turn over and you'd find a name Pharaoh, and you'd say, see, there I found a name Pharaoh. Well, that's not what I'm talking about now. I'm not talking about this type of book, because you'll see in a minute what we're really talking about. Then those names are there in the record, but they're not part of that seed that we're talking about. They were the opposition that was going on during the time that the seed was there. See, you had an Elijah standing there, and you had a Balaam standing there. You had all kind of things like that going on in opposition, and they're not what would be called part of the Bible then. Well, now, we asked you here a while back, where are we at in the Bible? Well, now, let's think a little bit about this now. We've watched it as it come down through the Bible. You know, the seed, we followed it down through the Bible in our studies of all of the men of the Bible. Then we came down into the New Testament and saw the seed coming through the New Testament, and Peter and them saying, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Followed that right on down through seven church ages and come down to see that each one of those was the alive word for the time. The age and time of them living, they were the alive word, and right down to the very hour that we're living now. That we are the alive word. But now here's what I want you to think about for a minute. You couldn't find a lot of our names in the Bible. Is that true? I mean, you can find mine now. Samuel's in the Bible. That's my first name, but that's still not my whole name. You can't find Samuel Dale in there. But just taking your first name, there's a lot sitting here that your first name's not in the Bible. Is that true? Well, then you'd say, well, now, how are we in the Bible then? If my name's not in there. See, then how am I going to be counted? I can see that Abraham was there, and he's part of the seed. I can see Moses' name there, and he's part of the seed. I can see Paul there, and he's part of the seed. I can see Peter's name, James and John and Timothy and all like that. I can see all of them. But I can't find my name written there in the Bible. Well, right now we studied about the seals breaking and showing how the ages had come down through here and was the alive word that the seals revealed as being the alive word for the time. And that's why we drawed it out on here and showing the ages and how did it come down. Well, then we found from the seals that were part of the Bible, didn't we? That the word we're living right now is part of the Bible. All right, now think on this for a minute. Brother Branham says on page 111 and 112 of the seal book that when the seals broke to John, John saw his name there. Now, let's think a little bit about this book, and you'll see it connect together the same way. It'll come right down as what we've been studying about the seed. You know, Galatians 3:16, and as I seed Christ, we'll see it come down the same way as what we've been connecting it together with the seals revealing the alive Word, that we are the Word made alive. Now, just watch it again, because I keep wanting you to see that, and I keep going over it to where we can see it. When the seals broke to John, he saw his name there. Now, you'd say, well, that's easy because the name John is in the Bible, you know. Well, now, suppose his name would have been McGillicuddy. That's not in the Bible. You know, there's no such name as that written in the text of this book we call the Bible. Well, could he have found his name in the Bible then? Now, the word McGillicuddy's not there. See, then that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about that we'll find our name there, that we'll keep searching through these pages, and finally some of these days we'll find it, and we'd say, well, the word Peggy is in there because I can find a P here and a E here and two G's over here and a Y here, and I've got it all put together, my name. Now, that's not what I'm talking about. We're not looking for some kind of a rabbit in a hat. We're trying to look at the Word to see where we are. Then if we can see it rightly, the way the prophet described it to us, we can see that we're there. Right there in the Word, we can read our name right there, because when the seals broke, John saw his name right there in the Word. All right, then let's just read something there. This is page 122. I want us to get this point. You see, the book actually was planned and written before the foundation of the world. This book, the Bible, was really written before the foundation of the world. And Christ, being the Lamb, was slain before the foundation of the world. And the members of His bride, now we're talking about us now, the bride of Christ, their names were put in the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. But it's been sealed up. And now it's being revealed. Whose names were in there, all about it. What a great thing. And John, when he saw it, said everything in heaven, everything in earth, heard him hollering blessings, glory, and amen. Alright, then, our names were put in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then, what are we going to look at to see our name there? As we looked at the message just recently of how that the seals reveal the ages and bring that out, and why the prophet started in the first church age with the first seal and brought that out. Now let's look at this for a minute and just see if we can find something. 224. Let's just pick up something now and see if we can find maybe a little bit about it. Brother Branham's praying. He says, Our Heavenly Father, I think this an awful hour is approaching. There's no way to stop it. I predicted it would come. Now I have thought of why don't the people come and listen. Won't they come and accept it? But of course I know that you have said they wouldn't, so they won't. But there is some that have got their names written on the Lamb's Book of Life. And when those seals are thrown open there, they see their name there, and the Holy Spirit speaks to them, and they come. Now, the prophet says when the seals break, you'll see your name there. All right, we've already read over here where he said that our names were put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. And they're sealed up. Well, now, something is sealed up. If you sealed up this book, you can't get into it. Is that what we talk about, a seal? You get a letter, it's sealed. They've got a little thing on the back of it. You lick it and stick it down. That sealed it. Now, you can't get in that letter unless you tear into it some way, because it's sealed. You don't know what's in there. You can presume it's in there. You can guess about it being in there. You can try to figure out what it is because of it coming from a certain person that maybe you ladies that know what I'm talking about. You get a a little card there and it's from a certain person and you say, well, that person's going to have a shower pretty quick because they're getting married. You can presume, see. Say, well, what that is, that's a wedding invitation or a shower invitation from that person to me because that's from them to me. Well, see, you still don't know what's there. And in the same way, you can't know about your name being written there, that away. You can presume, but we're not in the hour of presuming. We're not in the time when you can just guess at something. We're in the time when the Bible said He commands all men to repent. We're not in an hour of just guessing at it and saying, well, I believe I'm a Christian. I believe that I'm going to heaven. I've been taught that there's a heaven to go to, and I believe I'm going. We're not in that hour. We're in the hour that you got to know, that you know, that you know. Then we can't just presume and say, well, Brother Branham said, my name is written in those seals. So I believe that by my name being written in those seals and that prophet telling me that, then I believe my name is in this Bible. Well, where's that? I mean, is that hard to just put you on the spot and say, where's it at? I ain't like they say about the Missouri Mule, you gotta show me, but I am hard-headed enough to say, where's it at? See, we found the seals were revealed by seeing the church ages come down. We saw the church ages proved to be in the Bible, didn't we? We saw that the alive word that we're living today has got to be in this Bible here, or we would be in addition to the Bible, and if we add to the Bible said He'd add the plagues written in the book unto us. Well, then, if we can see it rightly, we can see the same way that our names are written in those seals. We found out the seals reveal the ages as they come down, and that the ages were the alive word. We found out that the Old Testament had a word written, and people made it alive and lived it, didn't they? Moses, David, all of them, they lived it for the time. We found the New Testament had an alive word. Peter, James, John, and them lived that word and made it alive. Then we found that the seals revealed that there are seven church ages. It was just written as prophecy in Revelations 2 and 3. But then when they came down and were lived, the seal come off the book and we can look back and see that it's not just a prophecy or some man's ideal. As I said to you, how could you take Brother Branham's message and say, well, this church age book here, there's people that question it now, whether it's authentic or not, because Brother Lee Vail had to do with the editing of it and rewriting, you know, and respelling of the words and changing around of the originals that was written into what's called the church age series. How do you know that there was a Luther or a Irenaeus or a Martin or a Columbo, or as a matter of fact, how do you know there was a Paul? Oh, Paul's in the Bible. How do you know this is right? You know what the Church of Christ says about it? They say you got to have the Holy Ghost. They say that's your Holy Ghost, the Word. Well, you know, you can throw that in the fire and burn it up. I'd like to see you burn the Holy Ghost up, but you can throw that in the fire and burn it up, can't you? All right, you could throw that in the fire and burn up Paul then, if that's all the record we've got. But see, when the Word's made alive, the seal reveals the entire journey of man, all the way through, if you've been catching what I've been talking about. It shows all the way through, then there's no question to it. Shows every believer in the Bible in his place there. Showed every church age in the place that we took of the alive Word. Then it's not just a question of some man's ideas no more, is it? If the seal's broke to you. Where the problem is, the seal's not broke to a lot of people. And watch it and you'll see right here what it is. You'll see why it's not broke. But yet we read now that our names were written, and you can read it out of the Bible there in Revelations about 11 and on through there, 13 somewhere, and where it picks up the book of life and says that their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world? This Bible was actually written in the mind of God before the world ever begun. It wasn't penned in ink because God didn't need that. We've got something nowadays that, do you know that they've got computers now? In other words, I can't tell you every word that's in this Bible and wherever it appears. But you know, they've got computers that they can feed that Bible into. And that anywhere you wanted the word and, they can tell you where it's at. Anywhere that you read the word Paul, they can tell you the exact verse, chapter and verse, that computer can tell you that. Well, you know, that's just natural, man. God don't need a computer to keep up with what's going on, does he? Because he's the very fountain of wisdom. All right, then being the very fountain of wisdom and knowledge and understanding, he doesn't need that. He knows all that. So before the world ever begun, the Bible was written in the mind of God before the world ever begun. And Jesus stood as a lamb slain. And all the names of those that will go to heaven, as you'd say it that way, will be in that book. And he knows those names. Now, we don't know them names. Like I said, a lot of our names are not in there. So we don't know them names, do we? But he knows them. He knows all about it. He knows when those names will be manifested here on the earth. And it's just like I said the other day about it. It might have been comical, but I didn't mean it to be that way. But do you think God just kind of hatched up the idea of you being here this morning? How did he work all of it out to where that you would come to this place this morning to be here? You think God didn't know that? You think God didn't know all about who you'd marry and why you'd come into this way and you'd be in that way and you'd wind up this way and who you'd be and how you'd come down? You think he didn't know all that? Well, then there ain't nothing out of cater this morning. Let's just sit back and take it easy and let him take care of the rest. Just see who we are. But look, we saw our names. Brother Brown said, when they see it there, said, when the seals break and they see their names, our Lord, and you'll call them and tell them to come on. See, then it's not the written out name that we're looking for. Because we wouldn't find our name there. Robert Daugherty's not in there written that way. Because that's a name that we have. And just as I said, you might read Moses in the Bible. But that was the historical side of the life that was being lived, that while that person was living that life and Moses doing what he was doing, God was writing his Bible through his life as he lived it. And that's the alive word, not just the Moses is out there or the Abraham. It's the life that he was living, that something motivated him to do like he was doing. What motivates you? What causes you to do the way you do? Is it just something natural, haphazardly? No, God knows all about it, don't he? He knows everything's taking place. But now watch this all tie together now over the messages we've been speaking on for a while. It's not your name. It's not your name that you're looking for in the Bible. What is it you're supposed to be looking for? See, just like I said about the church ages, the seal's proving it. What is it you're supposed to be looking for? This is 473 of the seal book. Let's just see what the prophet said about it. He's talking about Israel and the predestinated ones. He says, no, nothing will be saved, only those whose names were put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, Jew or Gentile. That's all. The book holds that mystery, and the book is only unfolding it now. Now listen to what he's saying. Not each one's name. So don't try to look for your name. But what the mystery of the book is while it's calling those names. Do you understand that now? Then he gives an illustration. He says, now like Levail, it's not written in the Bible that Levail would be saved in this church age. That's not written in the Bible. Or Armin Neville or whoever. It's not written in the Bible like that. It's not written in the Bible here that Robert Daugherty would be saved here in the last church age. That's not written in the Bible. It's not there that way. But what's written there? What's going on? Wow. See, there's a mystery about something that's going on. And while in this age that we are the alive Word and it's being made alive and lived right here among us, then there's people being saved. That then puts your name right back in the book, don't it? Not your name that you're looking for, that trying to find Robert Daugherty there. See, don't hunt that away. Hunt the mystery of what's being done. In other words, Luther's name's not in there. But we found out that that fifth church age was the alive Word for the time. All right, but Luther's name itself's not written there. But what is it? There was a mystery that there would be a church age come forth, and the world would be so dark into Catholicism that a man called Martin Luther would walk out and preach a message called "The Just Shall Live by Faith." That's a mystery. All right, then in that mystery, what was going on at the time put Martin Luther's name right in the Bible. All right, then there's a seventh church age where we're living now. And in this church age that we're living now, your name is in the Bible because you can catch the mystery of what's happening right among you now. You can see that you're of the alive Word. You can see the day and hour that we're living. You can read in the Bible and find out how that man's hearts will fail for fear of the things coming upon the earth. You can read in here like Matthew 24 and all like that, where that things like that would happen. There'd be false Christ leading the people away. You can see that's happening. You can read about the earthquakes in divers, which means many places, earthquakes all over the world now. You read that out of the Bible. That's happening right now. All right, then what does that put in the Bible? If you can see it that away, now, anybody could read it and see that that's what the Bible's saying and believe we're here, but they don't. The catch is they won't see their name there. And Brother Brown said, now open the seal back and show to them their name that's under there. All right, then it's not the name written out under there you're looking for. It's the mystery of what's going on. Well, is it just because the world's coming to an end? Every preacher just about at the pulpits all across the land today is preaching about the world coming to an end. But does that mean he knows his name is in that Bible under that very mystery that he's talking about? No, because he don't know that he's the alive Word. He's the Word that's made alive. Because that's what it is. Jesus Christ living in the heart of an individual today is the Word made alive in that person's heart. That's what makes you act like you do. That's what makes me be the way that I am. I could have had opportunities of everything in the world since I've been around this message and all. I had a big church, started off for 1 year, but it wasn't long to preaching the Word, just emptied it. Just trying to be what I've been. I've not tried to be nothing, anything other than what I ought to be. I've tried to be a Christian in my life. I know I failed bitterly. But I've tried to be a Christian. I've tried to preach to you what's right. I've tried to live what I preached before you, to be where that even that my own children could not come to me and say, "Daddy, you done that, so you can't condemn me for doing that." See, I've tried to live to where that I could say, they could come to me and say, "Daddy, I've done wrong." I say, "Son, well, we've all done wrong, all like that, but let's just get rid of that and go on and believe the Word and walk on." But not to live like something before them and then turn around and expect them to live some other way. You see, we have a purpose in our hearts and our lives. That's what we're here for. And you'll see one of these days that Israel can't read this book and understand it, but they can read the lives of the people that has lived this book. Your neighbor, he can't read this book and see God. He sees a Trinity. He sees some kind of a God in three persons. He sees some kind of a denominational idea. That's all he can see because that's all he's been taught. But as I said the other night, you go out and live before the people and they know what I'm preaching here. They know what I'm preaching here by the life that you live. then you just go on, just do what you want to then, and you'll be telling the people what I preach. But see, you know better than that. I know better than that. They might not. But you know, I don't preach like that. I don't preach that you're supposed to be one way and me be another. I try to preach that we're all supposed to be the same. Why? Because it's something in my heart that just like Moses back there in his heart, something saw in his heart, something was in him that caused him to be like he was. I believe the same thing today is in my heart causing me to be like I am. Causing me to live like I live and want to be the way that I am. I believe the same thing's causing that. And then in that, I can find my name in the book. In that, the seal, when it comes off the book, I can find my name there. And now watch this next little point, and we'll close out with it. And you'll see why Brother Branham could be so certain when he would stand there and he'd say, there can't be another message. He said, there's not nothing beyond this. What he was talking about. He said, there's not no more beyond this. It can't be. He said, it'll just start getting worse now. Watch how sure he was of that. And you'll see it in the message. But it's the mystery of the revealing of the Bible is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a sealed book. Put your subtitle underneath your regular title of sealed book. Because that's what I'm talking about, a sealed book. A book that's sealed up, that the seal's got to come off the book before you can see where you are and who you are and what you're doing. The Bible speaks of things that's to be revealed in our day. And by that we can see then that if we can see it as being in our day and not seeing it to be tomorrow or next week or been 10 years ago or been back in Brother Brown's ministry, seeing what's happening right now, you can see that your name is right there in the Bible, just as well as Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the rest. Because it's part of the Word. It's the Word that's been made alive for the hour that you're living. Alright, the Bible gives an early journey of some of the seed, like Abraham and them like that. So that we can look back there and see in that person. We can watch a historical side of their natural life. But we can also watch the person of Jesus Christ, because the Bible is a revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what it's, the whole Bible is for. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ, the one true and living God. It's Christ living in them. But now here's the point. You say this is Easter Sunday and you hadn't mentioned anything about Easter. You ain't talked to us about bunny rabbits and chickens laying eggs. Or about all of the great things of the resurrection that you'd hear on the radios and the preachers across the lands preaching this day on the resurrection, you know, and all like that. Listen, I want us to see something in the Word, and when we do, we'll see we're resurrected. We'll see right where we are. Not just talk about a bunch of chickens and rabbits and things, but talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. What would rabbits have to do with there's a little old comical thing that I got the other day from a Baptist village that I get a lot of mail from, and I had my name taken off years ago, but they still send it. But it's all about the chickens that went on strike and wouldn't lay no eggs for the Easter. Well, the bonny rabbit couldn't lay none, so they said all the praise, all of the hard work it went with laying the chickens, the Easter rabbit got the glory out of it, in other words. Well, what's chickens and rabbits got to do with Easter? The only thing it's got to do with it is Catholicism. Try to make it represent something. But now here's what I want us to find something. Watch this point now just for a minute. We've been talking about the writing of the Bible. The Old Testament, the writing of it, and the people made it alive. The New Testament, the writing of it, the people making that alive. The seven church ages as they come down, that as they come down, the Bible was written. Somebody was making it alive. Now think, why, you should already know it, but I'll ask you this question this way. Why did God have to wait until the end time before he could break the seals unto the people? Why did he have to wait till the end time down here before he could break the seals off the book? plain, simple language. He had to wait till the book was written first. I ain't talking about just the Old Testament written and made alive. I ain't talking about just the New Testament written and made alive. I'm talking about there had to be seven church ages that was prophesied in the book to be made alive, wouldn't it? God had to wait until it was made alive because those church ages is part of the book. We're part of the Bible just as much as Abraham was in. And God had to wait until you and I come before he could take that off of the book. He had to wait until these ages was made alive and all of the things came down and the saints lived their lives to be that word that was prophesied that would live. He had to wait till that was made alive because what kind of a book are you talking about? And we talk about a sealed book. We read there where that there was a book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. And the Lamb went and took the book out of the hand of the one sitting on the throne. What kind of a book is that? Is it a Scofield Bible? Is that a paperback Bible that was there or a hardback or some kind of a writing or some kind of a something that you could take out of his hand and turn around and read it? Or is it a scroll like was back there? Now think about that book. You'll see why the prophet would say they can't be nothing else added to it. Think about that book. What kind of a book was that? Now the book that we're talking about, if you remember the story in the breach that the prophet was showing us about, of how the book went back, that there in Genesis, you had Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. You had the potential of that book coming into existence, which would have been a group of alive people. But before that could come, Eve sinned, and when she did, Adam joined in with her, and God had to take the book back. It's a book of redemption. It's an abstract title deed. You can have the deed to your property, you know that. But as long as you don't have an abstract, somebody can come to that property and say, I've got a deed older than yours. Get out. You got to leave. You don't matter if you bought, paid for it, built $10,000, $100,000 home on it, and everything else sitting there. They can come take that property away from you because they've got a deed older than yours. See, the abstract is the oldest deed. All right, then that book that we're talking about that was in the hand of the one sitting on the throne wasn't this type of book because it's only been about 200 years. It wasn't a scroll because there wasn't anybody back there to write it. What kind of a book was that? It wasn't a live word that was in the hand of, in the possession that Adam and Eve would have brought forth. The group of people that would have been upon the earth without sin had sin not entered the picture. By having to be that way, by it entering the picture, sin, then the book went back to the hand of the original owner, and we see God sitting there in Revelation 5 with that book in his hand. Not a paperbacked edition, not a scroll, not anything like that. A word. The word. Jesus Christ in John 1:1 said, in the beginning was a Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. And the Word, verse 14 said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. What? This entire Bible was made flesh and dwelt among us. That whole seed, singular, was made flesh and dwelt among us. That Galatians 3:16 we're talking about was made flesh and dwelt on the earth. That's the kind of book we're talking about, the Word of God. Not the historical side of the Pharaohs. Not the side of the flood. Not the side of the fall. Not all of them things. But the seed. The Word. The seed. The Abraham. The Isaac. The Jacob. The Joseph. The David. The Samuel. The Sauls. And all coming down. Not the opposition that was over there in the Goliaths and the Balaams and the Pharaohs and all like that. then our name is right there with them because we're part of the Word being made alive for the time we're living. But just think now, that book was forfeited when Adam and Eve sinned. The book went back to the hands of Almighty God. And then you see him sitting there in Revelation 5 with it in his hand, and the Lamb comes and takes that book out of his hand. And it had to be after the book was completed. Did he take a book before it was completed? We wouldn't even do that, would we? We would start out writing a book, and all at once, we'd just get over to about page 469, and we'd just stop. And we got about 50 more pages over here, and we got nothing written on. We get right in the middle of a big story. You've heard and seen and read and continuations of series of that, and you've seen them on television where they get right up to an interesting point, and then all at once, they just cut off to hold your attention, and then the next week, they pick up at that place, and they go on with it. We wouldn't write a book like that, would we? God wouldn't write his Bible and just do part of it and just say, well, this year can't be done, so we just won't pile that in the Bible. When this book is completely written, it's the only way the seal can break. If we can't see that we're the live Word, then where are we going? The seals have done been broke. The seals have done been broke, church. Now where are we going? If we can't see what the prophet said about those seals and what they are, then we'll be in addition to this book. Because in 1963, the seals came off of this book. Then in 1963, this book was written. You say, I wasn't even there. I wasn't either. I'm talking about out there where this broke in. But I was here. You say, yeah, but those names are, yeah. Brother Brown said, when those names is manifested on the earth, then God could come forth. But now think a minute with me. There was a title deed of redemption in the hands of Almighty God sitting on the throne. The Lamb went forth to take the book out of his hand. He couldn't come forth to take that book until the book was completed. And what I mean was, how could he come and take the book in the Old Testament? The New Testament hadn't been completed. How could he come in the New Testament and take the book then, or the writing of the apostles? Those seven church ages had not been made alive yet. But once they was made alive, and part of the book, then he could come forth and take the book. Because the book's written. See, the prophet could stand there and say, they can't be no more than this. And how he could be so sure was because the seal had come off the book. He said, this is it. This is as far as it goes. It can't go no further. He said, now, it won't go no further than this. He said, you'll see me dropping back, waiting for that hour. And he said, it can't go no further. Said, there's not another message to come, and you don't get another sign whatsoever. The reason he could be so sure was the seal had come off the book. The book he knew was complete then. You don't take the seal off the book until the book is complete. Now, what's that to me and you now? What's that just what we're talking about now? Those last names would be splashed on the earth. When the last name is placed on the earth and comes in to the body of Jesus Christ and takes his place as part of the Word, then God can come. Now watch this little point that people have been so confused about, that went among the people so much until it's left mass confusion. Brother Branham would sound like in his teaching, he'd say, the Lamb left the mercy seat. And there was a doctrine went around the country back there that in 1963, they couldn't nobody be saved after then. Now, was Brother Branham teaching that when for years he still gave altar calls and people were saved, and you and I, a lot of us, were saved after then? Was that what he was talking about? That in 1963, the redemption was over? That's what everybody thought he said. But they didn't catch it right. He said, when the Lamb takes the book. When the Lamb takes the book, then the redemption's over. Now watch it be personal now. Do you realize that you are part of the book? That's what I'm driving at. Then if you're part of the book, then there was a time that we were sealed with the book. That's page 79 of the seal book. Read it when you get home. You are sealed with the book. The book is sealed and you're sealed with it. All right, now watch this be individually now and you'll see what the prophet's talking about. When the Lamb leaves the mercy seat, redemption is over. And you that hear these tapes, you listen very carefully to the wording that I'm using now, because it can be misunderstood now what I'm trying to say. But listen to what I'm saying. Redemption wasn't over in 1963 for everybody, because I saved after then. A lot of you were saved after then. So what was the prophet talking about? It sounded like that's what he was saying. He said the seals come off the book. But listen, when you finish your part of the book that you are to live, then God does leave the mercy seat for you and comes to you and lives in you. Then redemption was over for each individual as they came in. The day you are saved, that put you in the book. But the day God revealed the seals that was in this book to you, if they've been revealed to you, then and then was the Lamb leaving the mercy seat for you. Not for everybody else. There's other people that's got to see the book. They've got to become word too. So redemption wasn't over in 63, but it was over for Brother Branham because he saw that seal come off the book. When the seal come off the book in 1963 to him, he saw he was already saved. The seal is a finished product. But then the book was written. Brother Branham stood there and preached that message and brought that right down the line. In 1962, he said, I preached exactly what Paul preached. Brought that message and stood on that word. And when he did, God come right down to that word and just tore that seal off the book. And what did it reveal? Why did Brother Branham spend so much time in this book here? I'm talking about the seven seal book. Why did he spend so much time in here talking about himself? Just what I was talking about the other day. The only way I can talk about God is what God's revealed to me. I can't talk about what God has revealed to Brother Branham. The only way I can do that is read what he said. People say, oh, ain't it so great how that the Word has come to us. Brother Branham preached this great message. If we don't know what he preached by revelation, then it's just condemnation. No more than this Bible is. But now listen. In 1963, that prophet had stood there with that Word, and the Lamb come to him. That didn't mean up in heaven one day that there was a great Lamb left up there and come down through there to do this, that, and where was that Lamb at all the time? Brother Brown said he was behind there in the eternities. You remember when Brother Brown went beyond the curtain of time, he wanted to see Jesus? You that have read the story of his life story and things, if you've read it in there and seen, he wanted to see Jesus. What did that voice tell him? Say, you can't see him. He's higher. He's in another dimension. When John saw it, that Lamb come out of that dimension down into where John was, into the vision. And when it did, the Lamb had left the mercy seat for John. Not for me and you. That's 2,000 years ago. There's been a lot of people saved since then, hadn't there? 1963, that Lamb left the mercy seat for Brother Branham and came on the scene to him. The book was then completed You ever heard the prophet say it? Go back and check it on, sirs. What time is it? Check it on the first, on the breach and all the way through there, and check what Brother Branham was saying, how that in Revelation 10:7, I meant to preach a message on that, and I probably need to, where it says, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mysteries of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants and prophets. And look at all the things he listed there, how the mysteries was finished. Finished to who? Finished to him, not to me and you. But there comes a time when they're finished to me and you. When God reveals it to me and you, the mysteries are finished. Redemption then was over in 1963 for a prophet. They said he got over there in the last long about 65 and said, for one time in my life, I'm not afraid, he said. I have no condemnation, he said, for one time. Why? Because the Lamb was there with him. The Lamb that had left the mercy seat, when it leaves the mercy seat for you, will be your own Holy Ghost that you've got in you, revealing something to you. This book was done. Then when it's done, the book is sealed. And you're sealed with it. Then when you take the seal off, you see yourself. Brother Branham got over on that seventh seal and talked for just a little while about it. And then he spent an hour and a half talking about himself. What did I try to bring out the other day when Moses was trying to describe God to the children of Israel? He talked about who? Read the Bible sometimes and see how much is personally written there about God. Just take some of it and read it. I was sitting here one day just checking it. And I read about three chapters in the book of Ephesians. And about two or three verses is all it talked about God. The rest of the time, Paul was talking about himself. But do you know God wanted man to see him? You remember the message? God wanted man to see him. And how did he get man to see him? Did Moses spend all of his writings back there talking about the great glorious eternities and all the things that he'd seen? No, he spent his whole life talking about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, himself. Then we see it the same way today. Because the only thing I can tell you about God is what God's living in me. I can't tell you about the God of Brother Branham. I don't believe in that kind of a preaching of it. I don't believe that when back there when Elisha went, you remember when Elijah went across and Elisha went with him? And the fiery chariot come down, picked up Elijah, and he went up to heaven, and Elijah's mantle fell back on Elisha. And Elisha walked back over there to that waters, and he said, where be the God of Elijah? Struck that water, and it parted the same way. He wasn't saying, where be the God of Elijah? Where is he at? No, he is saying, the God of Elijah is here in me the same way he was there. Part water, and I'm going across. See, I don't preach the prophet of God. Brother Branham was in God. God was in Brother Branham. Oh, wasn't it great how he was there? God's got to be in me and you. Or it'll do us no good. Where be the God of Brother Branham? That's not saying, where be he? Where's he at? You know, he's right in here. The same God that Brother Branham served. And the same word that was in his heart and life that done it. I've stood right here and seen it discern your very thoughts and intents of your heart. I don't have something for it to record back to me, but I've seen your life change on account of it. I've seen it go down into your heart and change your life on account of the word that was spoken. I don't want to hear what it has to say back. I don't want to know your thoughts. I want us all just to be what we're supposed to be. Then Ephesians 4:30 says, what? Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed until the day of your redemption. Think about it. It says you're sealed until the day of your redemption. Then when the seal breaks, you see you are redeemed. You can only groan. Page 79 of the seal book, you can only groan because new life has come into you. But what about a day when your groaning is over? What about a day when you know that you're going? Your groaning's over. That doesn't mean your suffering's over. Brother Branham saw there when those seals broke. He saw who he was and what he was doing. That didn't mean he didn't get sick after then. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about his days of groaning and wondering and gloom that's held over all the eyes of the people. Is there not a gloom today over the eyes of the people of this land? Is there not a gloom over the eyes of the people of this message? They don't know what's going on. They made predictions. They've made all kind. Man stood in the minister's meeting and made predictions that California would sink on the 10th day of March. That didn't happen. He got up and said he was wrong. Another man, I was just listening to him yesterday, getting literature from all over the country from these people, saying that the resurrection was to happen this day, April 3rd, 1983. They spent hours on top of hours, quotations of list of books of books, just tape after tape, book after book, page after page, trying to prove that the resurrection was going to be this morning. Well, that might have been. We might have missed it. But I don't believe it, do you? You know why? Because check them, they were off the word. I heard that man speaking just a few minutes, and they called him just like that. He was off the word. I said, well, there ain't no need to worry about his prediction because he's off the word. He didn't even know what Brother Branham said when he was talking about the 50th Jubilee. He said on the 49th Jubilee, he said, when you heard the trumpet sound, you just throwed down your hoe and walked off. No, you don't. 50th Jubilee is a resurrection and rapture. You don't throw down your hoe in the seventh church age and not go on. You keep on hoeing until the 50th come. When I heard that, I said, forget it. That was enough. He's off the word. Brother Woodby went to that brother that was talking about March the 10th, the earthquake. He said, brother, it won't happen the way you said. He said, because you're off the word. But we ought to be stern enough to say it that way. The word is what will produce the rapture, not our predictions or time running out. Time has run out. Everybody says it has, so time has run out. But listen, the day you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, in your soul groaning stop. The baptism of the Holy Ghost brought that. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't groan and want more of God and search after God and go on. I said for your soul it stopped because eternal life came. Then when the seals come off the book, if you're understanding me, when you see that off the book the way it's supposed to be, then the redemption's over for you. That doesn't mean it's over for the next person or anybody else. I ain't talking about that. I said it's over for you. When you see it. But page 124 of the seal book, when the seals are completely broken, the Lamb has left the mercy seat. See, when the seals fully are broken, redemption will be over. And you'll cry to come in and can't. Joyce, would you come? There was a day Judas Iscariot sought God, couldn't find him. There was a day when repentance was sought with tears, but he couldn't find him. There'll be a time you'll come to the same place if you ain't careful, that you'll send away your day. And then you'll seek God. There was a scripture I wanted just to read, Joyce, if you'll play something. Verse 6 of the 5th chapter, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns. Funny looking lamb, ain't it? Seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. As I said, what kind of a book is that that he had in his hand? Not this kind of a book. It's an alive book that he has in his hand. Do you know what that means, seven horns? Now, I'll get them for you. It's on page 100 and 101. Of the seal book. Look at what the prophet says those horns are. He said those horns, it's got seven horns. He said those seven horns were seven church ages that were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he said the seven eyes, that are the seven church age messengers bringing their message. So when you see that lamb walk out there, it don't look like it's a lamb coming to take a book out of the hand. That is the alive word. That's Jesus Christ standing there. Not a lamb, because the lamb took the book out of the hand. How could he take the book out of the hand of the one on the throne? He'd have to get it in his mouth. A lamb would. So it's not that kind of lamb, is it? It was the Lord Jesus Christ walking out there, and in him you see the all in all. Because at the time he takes that book, those church ages are alive. The word has been fully written. And it being fully written, that means you and I are there. As I said, not our name written in there that way, but what's going on right now puts my name in the book. Can you see that? What's going on, what we're living, the hour we're living in now, puts our name in the book. Let's stand together and just sing that. When the saints go marching in. Let's sing this. When the saints go marching in, if you have a need, then the altar's open. I hope you're seeing what I'm talking about. I'm a pilgrim and a stranger, wandering through this world of sin, on my way to that fair city. When the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in, oh, I know. Has the Lamb left the mercy seat for you? Has the seal been broken unto you? Listen, if the seal's broken unto you, the Lamb's left the mercy seat, where's he at? You and the Lamb have become one. When the saints go marching, won't it be a day? When the saints go marching, all that alive word all the way through the whole Bible, we'll go marching through heaven one day. Number, when the saints go marching in, when we gather round the throne, and the gates are closed within, I'll be shouting glory, glory, when the saints go marching in. When the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, oh Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in, I am waiting for the chariot to swing low and I'll step in. On the clouds I'll ride to heaven. Do you mean it? When the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, oh Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in.
Amen. Anyone have anything to say before we dismiss?
go home and think about what was said and pray about it. But if anybody hears it on tape, don't think I said in 1963 redemption was over for everybody. But it was over for a prophet because he saw himself redeemed. There'll come a time that me and you will see ourself redeemed. And we'll tell the world that we're already redeemed. And then it'll come into physical manifestation. But you think on these things. Father, as we dismiss, we pray that you'd bless the people as they travel on the highways. You promised your word wouldn't return void, so we believe that it shall accomplish whatsoever it's sent for. Bless your people. Bless your little bride around the world. Gather us all together in you. Break the seals unto us and show us our name that are written there, that we're part of thy word, the eternal God, living in human flesh. Guide us now. Be with us all in Jesus' name. You dismiss. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of poor. It will join us for thee.